past Saturday morning, I was on the fifth floor on the Pod G of the Guilford County Jail, part of the jail ministry there, and had six men that were gathered with me in the little activities room. And I had been thinking about Philippians 4, particularly with the Thanksgiving weekend, and thinking about bringing our requests to God with thanksgiving, as we did tonight. And just kind of getting the context there, we started up in verse 4, and we got stuck a little bit, stuck in a good sense, in verse 4 about rejoice in the Lord always. And we talked about that, how we can, as believers, we can always rejoice. We may not be able to smile, we may be crying, but we still can have that inner gladness that is in the Lord. And we also referred over to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Someone had mentioned Jesus wept as the shortest verse in the Bible, and it is in our English Bible, but the shortest verse in the Greek Bible, from what I'm told, is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. So as believers, we're always to rejoice. There's never a time, there's never a circumstance in which we're excused from being joyful. But as I was reading in my devotions the other day, I came across a verse that made me wonder, is it possible to be joyful and not have your joy full? I think that that might be. It was prompted by a verse in 2 John. So we're going to, if you'll turn to 2 John, just want to look at one verse there. And we're going to start here and end here. We're going to go somewhere in between. To think about this question, is it possible to be joyful without having your joy full? 2 John, written by John to the elect lady and her children. And in verse 12, John, in closing up this letter, he says, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. So, from my reading of that, it's obvious that John's joy and the believers to whom he is writing, their joy was not full at the time he was writing. It's not to say they weren't joyful, but their joy wasn't full. It wasn't full, but John wanted it to be full, and he was looking for it to be full, and he was planning for it to be full, but at the time he wrote, it wasn't full. John is the New Testament author, I found out, who focuses on this idea of full joy. And so I'd like for us to reflect a little bit on some of his writings tonight and just identify two very basic keys to experiencing full joy. Full joy, I think, would be joy that is complete, joy that is all that it could be, all that it's meant to be. The question is, could there be more? Could there be more to the joy that I'm experiencing? When I rejoice in the Lord, and hopefully do it all the time, no matter the circumstances, could it be that there's actually a fullness to this joy that I'm experiencing? And again, the keys are very basic. You're not going to hear anything new tonight about these keys. It's so interesting to me. When I look at this, I'm brought right back to it. When someone first gets saved, the things that we tell them to do as a new believer are the things that we need to continue to be brought back to. You think we'd get beyond that and we wouldn't need to hear the simple things anymore, but I know I do. And I think I find that most believers do as well. So let's go over to John. If you want to hold your place here, we are going to be back to 2 John for the second of our two keys. But John chapter 3, very famous chapter. We're not going to be looking at the more famous part of it. We're going to be looking here as John is exalting the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist here. John is recording that about John the Baptist exalting the Lord Jesus. And John the Baptist here is speaking in the context of a wedding. Let's start in verse 27. Verse 29 is what we're going to look at. But look at verse 27. They're coming to him and saying, hey, this new rabbi, he's baptizing people. Everybody's going to him. We know he didn't actually baptize, but his disciples were. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Same word there in the Greek. In essence, this joy of mine is full. So we have the idea here of a wedding, or maybe better said, the betrothal period. We might say the engagement period in our culture. And we see here that John, as the friend of the groom, he says, I stand and I hear him. And I rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. I'm going to suggest that the first key to experiencing full joy is fellowship with the groom. Fellowship with the groom. The Lord Jesus here is identified as the groom. We find also in 2 Corinthians 11 and Ephesians chapter 5 and in the book of the Revelation written by John, the book of the Revelation, we find the Lord Jesus presented as the groom. And here John is saying there's something about hearing the voice of the groom. Hearing what he's saying to me that makes my joy full. Not just joyful, but makes my joy full. It reminds me of Psalm 16:11, where the psalmist said in prayer, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Interesting, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon there in verse 28 of that chapter, he quotes this psalm, from this psalm. It says, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Now we know there, for us, there's a very future aspect to that. One day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus. We're going to be with the groom. And there's going to be full joy then. Our joy is going to be completely full, never to be diminished. But I think there's an application as well. John 15, you might want to just flip over there. John 15:11, we're going to mention just quickly a couple of other verses under this idea of fellowship with the groom. John 15:11, here are the words of the Lord Jesus himself, the one who identifies himself in verse 1 as the true vine. Look at verse 11. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. It's the heart of the Lord Jesus that our joy would be full. Not only that we would be joyful, but that we would experience a joy that is complete. A joy that is all that it can be, and that involves fellowship with the groom, listening to the voice of the Lord Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, we read, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So much, John refers to what was written, what the Lord Jesus has said, hearing that, receiving that, that is intimately connected with having a joy that is all that it could be, that is truly a full joy. We know that's how we hear the Word of God. We don't stand beside the Lord Jesus as John the Baptist did. No, we go to the Word of God and we listen there to hear His voice. And I'm challenged to ask myself, when I've been reading the Word of God lately, have I in reality been listening for the voice of the Lord Jesus? Or have I been reading a book? Yes, I have been reading a book, but it's more than that. Have I been studying academically? Yes, I've been studying academically, but it's more than academic. Have I been doing what I should do and being in the Scripture every day? Yes, but it's more than just what I should do. It's the voice of the groom speaking to me. And when I truly listen to the groom's word to me, I believe it will bring my joy to the full level. One thing that he says to me, we find that in John 16, look over there quickly, John 16 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus speaking of prayer, and he says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." It's one thing he tells us to do. When we hear him, he says, speak. Respond. Speak to my Father in my name. That's what the groom is saying for us to do. Ask. And it makes me think, what am I asking for? We've got a long list of requests from tonight. Every one a legitimate request. But are there other things that I may be personally praying for in my own life? Am I asking for spiritual understanding and insight? Am I asking for the strength to persevere through difficulty? Am I asking for the peace of God and the comfort of God? Am I asking for wisdom when I have decisions to make? Am I asking God for intimacy with His Son? Am I asking Him for spiritual growth and fruit that remains, and opportunities to speak for Him, and boldness in the gospel? Am I asking Him for victory in selfishness and impartiality? What am I asking God for? Actively interacting with the Lord Jesus through His Word and prayer is essential for experiencing full joy. We know that. But how much of our time alone with the Lord in the Word and in prayer is truly a fellowship with the groom? To the extent that it is, we will find our joy at a greater level of fullness. Well, let's go back to 2 John there. We're going to look at the first chapter and the last chapter of 2 John. The only chapter of 2 John. Because here we find that the second key, I believe, to a fullness of joy is fellowship with the bride. In Ephesians 5 and other passages, we see fellow believers as well as ourselves being a part of the bride of Christ. Fellowshipping with the bride, sharing together our lives in Christ through open and honest communication. Again, back to verse 12, we'll read it again. "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full." John says, you know, my joy and your joy are not going to be full. It's not going to be all it can be until I get there where you are and we can talk to each other. You know, I'm thankful for letters. I'm thankful for email. I love to send and receive texts. But you know, even more meaningful is to hear a voice. And even beyond that is to see a face with the voice. We can't always do that. But how important it is for believers. We see that in verse 1, John here is writing to fellow believers whom he loves in the truth. And they're also loved by all those who have known the truth. That includes us. We want our joy to be full. That's why we need to gather like this tonight. It's one of the reasons, not the only reason. One of the reasons we gather like this. Another reason that we gather informally. Because we want our joy to be full. We need to be together. The things that John wanted to share, they were in line with what he had been writing. You know, when I think about my sharing with other believers and I ask myself, does what I'm sharing of my life with other believers have as its foundation the person and the Word of the Lord? You know, I think I should be able to talk about anything and everything with other believers. But the anything and the everything in my life should all be founded on the Lord. Even if I'm not talking directly about Scripture, about the Lord Jesus, or directly even about the, quote, things of the Lord, unquote, everything in my life should be about the Lord Jesus. I mean, He should be below it all, above it all, around it all, in it all, the center of it all. Even if I'm talking about sports, at the foundation underneath all of that, and my attitude and my actions, I should be sharing with you, with one another, that our joy may be full. And not just words. We're going to close with Philippians 2. You don't have to turn there. This isn't written by John, but he's... Paul here was looking for a full joy, and he said in Philippians 2:2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I want my joy to be full. I want there to be a unity. I want us to be sharing our lives together. You see, our joy is not designed to operate in isolation, but in relationship with other believers. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, why did he need to be with these people in order for his joy to be full? Wasn't the Lord Jesus enough? The Lord Jesus is enough, but the Lord Jesus has designed us. We could say, well, the Lord Jesus is enough. Why are you here tonight? If He's enough, why do you need to come together? No, He designed us to come together, to be together, to share together. That's His design. Experiencing full joy is a direct result of fellowship with the groom and his bride. Apparently, my joy level can fluctuate. I know some of you have people who share a car with you. And there may be some people in here that every time you get in the car, that person has left it almost on E. The gas gauge I'm talking about. I have a mechanic, he says, don't ever let your gas level get below 1/4 of a tank. That's not because you're going to run out, because it's something about the fuel injection or something. Not sure about that. I haven't been following his counsel all the time, but I remember it anyway. But you know, when I think about that gas tank level on E or a quarter or full, I think about my joy level. You know, is it down near E? I can rejoice. I can rejoice all the time, and yet not be having a joy that's full. I could be at a quarter tank or half tank. What a blessing that we have the privilege of keeping it full, fellowshipping with the groom, fellowshipping with the bride, that our joy may be full. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us a joy. Thank you, Father, that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Thank you that all through the Scripture we read about rejoicing. We read about being joyful. And Father, I thank you for John's thought by the Holy Spirit that our joy can and should be full. Lord, we look forward to that day when we're in your presence. Fullness of joy will be our eternal experience without fluctuation, without wavering. Father, while we're here upon this earth, how we long for our fellowship with you, with your Son, to be closer, to be sweeter, to be deeper, to be more consistent. Father, how we desire fellowship with one another to maintain a closeness and openness. May it be founded and grounded on You and Your Word. Father, we thank You for Your grace. Lord, thank You for looking down on us and hearing our confession of sin. Father, when we have failed to stay close in fellowship with You, to take advantage of what You offer and what we have in our fellow believers, Father, we want our joy to be full. Father, I desire that these fellow believers, that their joy be full. None of us can do it apart from Your Son. And Lord, there's a sense in which none of us can do it apart from each other. So we just commit ourselves to You. Thank You for Your grace, for Your love, for Your joy. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and may your joy be full.